Burkett.
Oh man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of four tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs. Helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
So Jill, let me get this straight. You're telling me there's a moment in the year where there is less competition to buy a home in Sheridan, and that time is now?
That's right, Colton. Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best. And while some choose to hibernate and wait until spring to begin looking at homes, there are still sellers waiting to get their homes sold.
And if you are a seller, know that the colder season will bring ready, serious buyers.
And when you list your home with Best, your home will shine bright and show well no matter the season.
Looks like now is the exact right time, so give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
Since 1885, First Northern Bank of Wyoming has proudly served our communities. Hi, this is Trish Penn, and through every chapter of our customers' and communities' stories, we've been a neighbor you can count on. At First Northern Bank, you're more than just a number. We're committed to exceptional personalized service that fits your needs, because here you're not just a customer, you're family. Come discover how we can make banking different. First Northern Bank of Wyoming, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 402576.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, January 22nd. And from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning and welcome back.
Yeah, good morning, Floyd.
Morning.
About 2 months, I think.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. What I think Thanksgiving yep. landed on our day, Christmas. I told you I was ready to come in Christmas Day and
you
do a show,
here.
But yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And that's one thing that I would like people to acknowledge, you know, when we're all at home celebrating, law enforcement and people with the streets, they're out there making sure that things are still getting done. But man, it is good to see you. It really
yeah.
is. I'm glad
good to
see
be back.
You guys. Now, a 2025 review. How did the year go, kind of overall, before we get into details?
Yeah, no... 2025 was much different than 2024.
Yeah.
I mean, 2024, you know, was a year that, you know, a lot of tragedy within our community, you know, just between everything that happened, you know, with Nevada Crinky and the Elk Fire and Remington Fire, all of those things combined. 2024 was one of those years that while we will remember those and keep those, you know, with us, but it's a year that we want to move ahead and look into. And 2025 was much better. You know, it was a year we didn't see, you know, it wasn't as taxing on law enforcement, on first responders. And so it was a much more manageable year
yeah.
in 2024.
Yeah, 2024 felt like a year of crisis, just one right after the other.
Yeah, never stopped.
Yeah.
You know, it was just... right when you got your feet under you, something else, you know, kicked up. And yeah, we were, you know, putting out fires in a sense,
yeah.
like all year long. So,
boy, and that is one of those situations the community still kind of reeling from. You know, 2024 is a year as a whole. But yeah, happy to see it in the rearview mirror.
Yep. You know. Yeah.
But it is good to hear that 2025 was much better. Now, when do you expect the 2025 year in review report to be finalized?
Yeah, we hope our staff's working on that right now at the sheriff's office. You know, we put together, you know, basically a review of what the year looked like. And so I'm hoping that we will have that out and put together by the end of February, you know, first part of March. You know, things are, you know, we have, you know, folks within the sheriff's office all assigned to different things that they're pulling numbers from and stats and looking at our different programs. I mean, we look at our programs from livestock patrol to mountain patrol, college patrol, our SRO program, the canine program, all those different things, you know, they're pulling stats, taking a look at it. And then on top of, you know, our patrol division, you know, what kind of calls did calls for service, you know, what were the highlights of those? We look at, you know, traffic stops and all those different things, calls for service. And then we also have our civilian division. You know, we have all of the, you know, the sheriff's office is responsible for serving papers. So when we look at that, I mean, we're looking, you know, 1,300 to 1,600 papers served a year, you know, with subpoenas and court orders and those types of things. VIN inspections, the same thing. We're out throughout the county and the city, you know, performing VIN inspections. So all of those different reports, and then our detention division, right? Inmates, you know, being booked into our facility, what kind of, you know, crimes are they being booked in for and charged in? You know, what's their background? You know, what are we seeing? Is there a pattern? Like, can we, you know, put our finger on one thing? And always what I tell folks, it's alcohol, right? Alcohol is the number one issue that when we have individuals booked into our facility, you know, it's the underlying cause, or, you know, one of those is alcohol use. And so when we look at that, you know, those are different things that we try to look and, hey, how can we help this upcoming year? How do we try to prevent some of that? How do we mitigate that, right? To reduce those numbers the following year.
Does the sheriff's office participate in any kind of campaigns or initiatives to, I don't want to say curb the drinking, but maybe support those trying to get out or stop or anything like that at all?
You know, we have, you know, we're always trying to educate the public, you know, in those ways. I mean, when we're out, you know, it seems like the first of the year is when, you know, organizations and industries are doing their safety trainings. And so Doug and I were out, you know, giving presentations and trainings to, you know, the, you know, light manufacturing type of businesses, the mines and those types of things. And we talk about that. We talk about, you know, drinking and, you know, while it's okay to, you know, to consume alcohol, we want to do it in moderation, right? We don't want to be drinking into, you know, where you're passing out and those types of things. So a lot of education out with the public. You know, we've got great program, the 24/7 program. You know, I look back on, and that's a program. It's a program that the sheriff's office runs with the, in conjunction with the courts. You know, if somebody's struggling with alcohol and they come into our facility and it's alcohol related, the courts can order them into our 24/7 program where they're held accountable. They come into our, you know, they come to the sheriff's office every single day, twice a day, in the morning, in the evening, and they have to provide a breast sample, and it has to be zero. And if it's not zero, there's immediate consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first offense, they sit in jail for 24 hours. The second offense is 48 hours. The third offense, they're sitting in our jail until they see the judge. And we've got a tremendous amount of feedback, positive feedback, from those folks that are in that program, that they say, thank you. We need this. We need to be held accountable, because it teaches them, you know, what they can and can't do, but it also allows them not to be in our facility. You know, if they were just ordered in, you know, into the jail, but it allows them to be out. They can continue working, providing for their family, and being, you know, being a productive member of our community. And that's what we want. And so to reduce that recidivism. So there's programs like that, you know, we're trying to look, how can we help our community, right? And it kind of changes their behavior, educates them on what they can and can't do. But great positive stuff like that. And you know, with mental health and things, we're always looking at how can we be involved? How can we help, you know, curb these, you know, because we know that, you know, mental health is huge within our community as well. It's you know, we're seeing that rise. And what we see is that it's you know, co-occurring with alcohol use, controlled substance use, right? I mean, if people aren't getting the treatment they need, they look to self-medicate with alcohol, with controlled substances, and those types of things. And so any way we can help support our community, any way we can help support, you know, the mental health providers, or, you know, those types of folks, probation, parole, to help try to reduce those, we're all in.
That's fantastic to hear. As a recovering alcoholic myself, I can say that having, I guess you could say, like a motivator or an accountability to stay sober for a number of days may allow someone to have that moment of clarity that could change and save a life. And so I really like that program. That's a good way to get it done. And again, it keeps him out of jail, keeps him going to work in society and being a productive member. And I can speak from the experiences that I had years ago. It takes a moment of clarity. It takes a wake-up call. And I'm hoping if you are out there right now and you're one of those individuals, the best of luck to you. You've got all of our support. What are some key trends or takeaways from 2025 that kind of stood out to you as sheriff?
You know, when we're looking at that, what I am seeing, and it's great because we talk about education, and while I'm looking at some of those numbers and seeing things put together, we are seeing a reduction in the amount of individuals booked into our facility is alcohol related. Those numbers we're seeing a decrease in those from year after year. So that means our education, that means the things that we're doing are working, right? And so that's a huge plus. When we're looking at, you know, numbers, I don't have them right off the top of my head, but we're seeing the percentage of those, you know, decrease. And that's what we want to see. That's the direction we want to go. You know, Sheridan County is no longer in the top three counties of individuals being booked into jails is alcohol related, right? I think we're four, but we're getting there, right? We're not at the top three,
moving.
Right? We're moving in the right direction. Our percentage is going down. So, you know, those types of things, as I'm seeing is, you know, just the overall, I think our community coming together and, you know, we see issues, we see problems, whether it's mental health or whether it's those, and organizations, agencies are coming together and how can we tackle this issue? And so we're seeing collaborative efforts. You know, you're seeing that up at the hospital, you're seeing it through the college, you're seeing it through the VA, the VOA, through law enforcement, first responders, mental health providers, everybody, private, whatever. It's like, how do we, you know, because everybody's, you know, typically when you talk about mental health or you talk about controlled substance abuse or alcohol, you know, whatever that is, everybody's been affected by that, whether it's themselves or they've had a family member or a close friend. And so it hits home to everybody. So
agreed.
Folks are saying, hey, we want to, how do we work with that? And so, you know, while I don't have the numbers in front of me of what I see of what the trends stood out, what I can see is that our community, we're strong in the sense that we want to help every single person that is in that, you know, in that category of needing help. And we're coming together and we're trying to find a way. And
building bridges and partnerships.
Yep.
And you can see that kind of the 30,000 foot view. And that's got to be somewhat inspiring as kind of our sheriff of law enforcement for all of Sheridan County. That's got to be good to see that we're trying to get ahead of all of these problems before the detention center's got to be the ones to deal with.
You know, we talk about a lot of that when we come in and saying, hey, we see the effects of when there's not, like, you know, they make a poor choice and they land themselves in our facility, right? We're looking at programs now of, you know, introducing, you know, working with the hospital's addiction clinic and bringing that into our facility and starting, you know, a program of our own that's in collaboration with that. Because we want to give these individuals the best chance possible that when they leave our facility, they're successful. We don't want them back, right?
Yeah.
This isn't like the Holiday Inn Express.
The Andy Griffith Show, where you always had that one guy walk into his cell.
We want to reduce that recidivism. We, you know, we're going to take care of you. You know, that's our role. That's statutory. We're required to do that. We're also going to try to give you the resources while you're in our facility to where you can leave and you can be successful. And so seeing that, we don't want that rinse and repeat of over and over and over again. And so how can we build those relationships with other, you know, whether it's a hospital, the VA, the VOA, or other private, you know, practices, and looking at what can we do, you know, so that way we can be a part of this solution as well. Because we just don't want to be a receiving facility.
Yeah.
We want to help in any way we can to those individuals that are in our facility to be successful when they leave.
And I feel that is a fantastic outlook as a sheriff, as the sheriff's office, under sheriff. I mean, you know, working in a program and with individuals who's kind of proactively taking a stance against this stuff instead of kind of having to be the individual to say, all right, hands behind your back. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it does feel rewarding. So I very much agree with everything the sheriff had said. We promote this. Obviously, we have It's our community, or a tight, close-knit community. We want to support everyone within it, too.
And I do like the idea that, you know, those folks down at the detention center, they're not happy to see you walk through the door. You know, every time someone walked out of that door, it was with the best wishes, you know. Man, I hope I don't see you again. So it's good to hear that this is going forward, and the numbers are actually reflecting it. Now, training within the sheriff's office, something that I talk with you guys about, I talk with other law enforcement about, because it is always happening, always going forward. How did training evolve for the sheriff's office in 2025? And what would you say, which areas received most focus?
You know, when we look across the board, you know, our staff, you know, in 2025 received, you know, upwards of 3,500 hours of training, of basic and advanced training within law enforcement. And you know, 1,600 of those hours were advanced training. So when you look at our staff and what we have, that's roughly 40 hours of training per deputy within our sheriff's office. You know, those numbers might be just a little low, but that's also because our staffing's been a little low, you know, as well. It's also in part due to, you know, our budget took a hit last year through this fiscal year, and so we had reduced training budgets, reduced travel, you know, budget. And so when that happens, we've got to really look at what's, you know, and I've always stressed this from since I've, and, you know, my predecessors did the same as well. But when we look at training for our staff, it's very important that we look at training that they're receiving, or that they're going to, or they're going to be coming back and bringing that knowledge to us, that it's very specific and unique to Sheridan County's needs. You know, we're not taking the taxpayer dollar and sending folks to Florida for some training that, you know, is never going to be beneficial to our community. So we have to really look at that. And so when we have a reduced budget, we have to look at that even more. Okay, where are we going to get our bang for our buck? What are we going to look at doing? And so sending, you know, our deputies to training, you know, train the trainer to where they can go and get trained, but they can come back and they can provide that training to our staff. And that's where we get our bang for our buck. That's where we can look at putting all these together. And so sometimes it might be a little bit more out of a upfront cost or investment, but the overhaul is looking at that. We also have been looking at, with our new basement renovations, right? We can bring trainings into the sheriff's office, so we can host those trainings and we get free seats. We get those types of things. And again, and that reduces, we're not having to, you know, pay for deputies to travel out of town, you know, for, you know, hotels and meals and lodging, you know, all of those types of things and tuition costs. We bring that training here, and then we can do that. So that's been kind of our focus over the last year and the last few years and into the future, especially if we're looking at potential, you know, budget constraints.
Yeah, even going forward from here, we'd never really know what the budget's going to look like until it's in our
life. I don't even want to. It's, yeah, we'll see.
We won't darken the room with that discussion just yet. But I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What makes First Federal Bank and Trust different?
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Dr. Addison Dempsey, audiologist from EBIA Hearing and Sound. Did you know there's a correlation between untreated hearing loss and cognitive decline? Missing out on sounds deprives your brain of proper stimulation. Just like your body, your brain needs exercise. Wearing hearing aids can help keep your brain active, engaged, and healthy. Ensure you don't miss out on a thing. Include a quick and easy hearing test as part of your routine health checkups. Call and schedule your test and free hearing aid demo today. EBIA Hearing, 674-8920. That's 674-8920. Do you ever hear ringing, buzzing, or humming when the room is quiet? You might be dealing with tinnitus, and if so, you're definitely not alone. Hi, this is Dr. Addison Dempsey from Ebia Hearing in Sheridan. We talk with people every day who feel frustrated, exhausted, and unsure where to turn because of tinnitus. The good news is there are treatment options. Advanced hearing aids like Starkey Omega AI can help reduce the perception of tinnitus by properly stimulating your auditory nerve and with masking technology. We also offer Lanier, an innovative FDA-approved therapy that combines sound with gentle stimulation to help retrain how the brain responds to tinnitus. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, which is why we start by listening to you. If you're struggling to hear well or tinnitus is affecting your sleep, focus, or quality of life, schedule a consultation with Ebia Hearing today. You deserve quiet, clear moments again. Ebia Hearing on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Call 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi, this is Harry Bowling with Champion Kane Funeral Home. We are sponsoring a 9-week grief support group at no cost to our community. We meet on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. To register, call Judy Olson at 672-3336. That's 672-3336.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. We're sitting with the Sheridan County Sheriff, Levi Dominguez, and Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Lieutenant Sanders, something that I love to talk to you about, something that you had a great time participating in, but your new responsibilities did take you away from it. How has the canine program changed in 2025 with the addition of your new handlers?
Well, Floyd, I always like talking about the canine program. It changed quite extensively. Obviously, through my promotion, Canine Fox went to a new handler. That new handler was Deputy Kayla Oswald. She's been a patrol deputy since 2021. So she had to go through the handler certification process with Canine Fox over the summertime. This past fall, Deputy Liz Cho, who was formerly Canine Kai's handler, ended up following or pursuing family opportunities. And so she's no longer with the sheriff's office. She is a reserve deputy currently. But due to her departure, we had to fill Canine Kai's position. And Corporal Eric Horsley filled that position, and he's been a deputy since 2016. Both of those deputies had to go through somewhat of a rigorous handler certification process that involved approximately 200 training hours just for the handler certification for drug detection, evidence recovery, and the tracking trailing. They received certifications in each of those three specialties. And as far as maintaining that, obviously they have to bond with the dog, which they've both done a phenomenal job doing, and they've both looking very strong. The dogs had easily adjusted, and the handlers have both adjusted to having the dog in their home full-time, obviously, and then working alongside them.
That's fantastic. You know, having your partner live with you right there. You know? Now, what do 2025 canine statistics tell you about the effectiveness of this program, Undersheriff?
Just looking at the prior years in addition to 2025, you know, there's very much a need for the dogs. Drug sniffs, so to speak, have been kind of the bread and butter. It's predominantly the majority of all the calls that both dogs have fielded when myself and Deputy Choate had them to now the two new handlers. As far as statistical data, there wasn't as many search and rescue callouts, surprisingly, this last fall. I think that was one of the things I thought of when I thought of key takeaways. No forest fires. We didn't have the smoke that we usually have throughout the year, and there wasn't near as many search and rescue callouts in the fall for hunting because I think a lack of snow to some degree affected that. But our deployments for this past year, being 2025, we were down from 47 from, I believe, approximately 74 the year prior. With that being said, when we have to go through the process of choosing a handler, we have a 2 to 3 week selection process where, like, for example, my promotion, I fielded a dog, but we have to go through the selection process for whomever the new handler is and to pick the new handler. And then you
There is a period where they're not doing much.
Correct. Yeah. Anybody that is interested in the handler position, when we put it up to the deputies, will have to go through an interview process to be chosen. In addition, we will go check the living environment that the dogs would have and ensure there's no concerns there. So that's about a 2 to 3 week process. In addition to that, you're looking at approximately 5 weeks for those 200 hours of training.
Mm.
So the dogs are out. I mean, we're looking at almost 2 months per dog this past year.
So there are obviously many reasons as to why there was a reduced deployment of the canines this year. But everything that you've seen, and of course you've seen it firsthand, they are really effective.
Yes. I mean, very much a need for it. Obviously, when we reinitiated the program in 2023, we did see that. I believe that at the time, the two PD officers that had fielded canines were retiring out with them, and then High Patrol had a canine and they were retiring out as well. So we saw the need of needing that for the county and for the other jurisdictions that are agencies that we assist. In addition to that, we are now down, I believe, the police department has one canine, and obviously we now, the Ranchester Town Marshal has one, but the dogs have different specialties.
Mm.
So we're very much assisting multiple agencies, including High Patrol, VA, DCI, Probation and Parole, the Ranchester Town Marshal, and obviously the Sharon Police Department.
They're busy.
Mm-hmm.
They're busy out and about. Now, you talked about the 200 hours of training just to get the certification. How do we stay at a high level of readiness with our canine units? I imagine they probably go through quite a few drills, maybe even daily, because it's kind of a fun thing for the dogs to be doing this stuff.
Yes. The one crazy reality is you like to think of them as somewhat robotic, but they're a lot like a person, right? The dogs can potentially cut corners. So you want to be training with them to see any concerns that you have, because if there's an easier way out, they may take that. So you're very much on the money for that. For handler certification, they go through those hours every month. They're required to do 8 hours, but we do 10 because we work a 10-day schedule of training hours per month. They go to our canine vendor, which is B3 Canine, and they do the training there. Because the benefit of going through them is obviously they are certified instructors, but for example, for drug recognition, some of those drug sniffs, they have what's called unknown hides. So if I myself do this training, I know where the hides are at, right? If we go through these guys, they do the drug hides for us, so we have no idea where it's at. So it makes you keenly aware of watching your dog, and then also they're watching us. So we have an extra set of eyes to make sure we're not making any handler errors, as they call it.
Subconsciously leading the animal to where the hide is.
Correct. So we do that. In addition, both handlers will go through, time permitting, on shift, and they will do their own drug hides with each other, or they'll grab another deputy, or on occasion we also work with the PD canine handler, and they all kind of help each other out and do training. And then obviously we'll do evidence recovery. So they'll go hide an article of evidence. And then if we have one or two additional individuals that can assist, we'll do a track or trail. In addition to that, there's a yearly certification they go through. So a standard to maintain every year, they'll go back to B3 Canine and they'll do a yearly certification in each one of the specialties.
Now, everything the dogs do, our canine officers do, it's very serious. But at the same time, you say like the track or trail, and I think, gosh, that'd be kind of fun. Almost like kind of like a hide and seek against the dog, just to see if you can do it. And I imagine I would probably fail horribly. Now, before I carry on, one last thing about 2025 before I dip out, and that is investments that were made in training or equipment that will carry forward into 2026. Does anything come off as right at the top of the list, Sheriff?
You know, I always say that our personnel, our staff is our biggest investment, right? If we don't have good quality deputies and staff in the office and our controllers, every single one of our staff members plays a vital role into our office being able to provide a crucial service to Sheridan County. And so, yeah, we try to invest in our biggest investment when we look at that is the training that we look at, you know, whether it's custody and control or any of those types of, you know, what I will probably tell you, and I look at that, you know, is that investing in them is huge, right? But something that, you know, Lieutenant Sanders has been working on with the PD in collaboration, when we're looking at the training, and the PD has maybe talked about this, is really bolstering our active shooter response throughout the county and the community, right? So we're trained together. You know, our staff is training together. Lieutenant Sanders and Captain Ringley are always together talking about that, working with the other first responder agencies. So that way we have a consistent response throughout Sheridan County. And that's something that they have been working on, very key throughout 2025. And we're going to see that. And it's something that we hope we never have to implement or put in place. But in our line of work, it's not a matter of when, it's, you know, if it's, it's when this happens, right? And so we need to be prepared for that. And these folks, you know, Captain Ringley, Lieutenant Sanders have done an amazing job with that. And so, you know, our community can feel good at that, you know, that we're working together for that. But that's, you know, that's one of the huge key trainings that I've seen. You know, we've invested our staff, Lieutenant Sanders, Corporal Hoyt, have gone to training along with PD staff, you know, to get that, to bring that back to the rest of our law enforcement, you know, officers within Sheridan County.
And again, one thing I've always said about, you know, law enforcement, first responders, you guys have to see and acknowledge the ugly parts of the world. Some things that a lot of us out there can, I wouldn't say outright ignore, maybe scroll past, or whatever. But working in your line, you have to look at these things and have a great plan in place, no matter what. Even if someone might pull you aside, because I'm pretty sure every single community has said it'll never happen here. And I'm not making any comments on their law enforcement, but I'm just reassured that ours is ready. And I have spoken with the SPD about this and the HP, and the coordination between the three agencies, from what I see, is unparalleled. I haven't heard anything like that. The system that you guys have got in place and the drills that you run, thumbs up there, Sheriff, thumbs up. Okay, moving on down the line with winter being a little bit lighter than usual. Are there any concerns?
What is winter?
Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
I got to take a quick commercial break, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about winter or the lack of it when we come back. All right. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
At Carroll's Furniture, we say long live the lazy. Why? Because Lazy Boy recliners were made for maximum comfort and chilling like a pro. Kick back in classic Lazy Boy style, whether it's movie night, nap time, or just because you've earned it. From sectionals to iconic recliners, Lazy Boy at Carroll's Furniture brings home comfort in all the right ways. Go ahead, embrace your inner lazy at Carroll's Furniture, 340 North Main in downtown Sheridan, where comfort lives. Visit us at carrollsfurniture.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram. Long live the lazy.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean. We are Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning service. Carpet cleaning, air duct cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, water and fire damage restoration, mold remediation, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, hardwood floor cleaning, and much, much more. Nobody cleans like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you. You're invited to the 9th Annual Little Goose Ranch Production Sale, January 24th at Buffalo Livestock Marketing. Selling is an outstanding set of registered yearling Black Angus bulls and replacement heifers, featuring progeny influenced by top-name sires such as Coleman Charlo, Ellingson Statement, SAV Certified, and other outstanding herd sires. Free wintering and delivery within 500 miles. Visit littlegooseranch.com for further information and to see the catalog. Make plans for Buffalo, Wyoming, January 24th at 1 p.m. for the Little Goose Ranch Production Sale.
Doug, I think my car is sick. Sputtering, coughing, feel sluggish.
Bob, our car doctors are in at Waring Chevrolet.
From routine maintenance to major repairs?
Brakes, diagnostics, collision repair, and alignments that start at only $109. And we offer a tire price match guarantee on brand name tires.
But I don't even have time to drive it down there.
No problem. We offer free pickup and delivery within 10 miles.
Now that is definitely a service the Waring way.
The kind that keeps people coming back. The doctors are in. Schedule online at WaringSheridan.com.
Save money. Get local merchandise from Hot Buys, the place to shop on SheridanMedia.com. Every Thursday, today, SheridanMedia.com places items for sale at big savings, up to 50% of retail value. Click on the Hot Buys banner on our website and see the items for sale today. It's a great way to shop local and save money. Restaurants, entertainment, health and beauty, and a lot more. But when they're gone because bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m. on SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and we're sitting here with Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Under Sheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Lieutenant Sanders has got a meeting that he's got to make sure that he gets to before the conclusion of the show. So, LT, I want you to know if you got to take off at any point, it's great having you.
Likewise.
Now, carrying on with our discussions, we were talking about winter or the lack of it. And Sheriff, with a lighter winter, and this is something I did talk to the HP about as well, what concerns does the Sheriff's Office still have about driving right now? Because there can be, I guess, a sense of false security in these situations.
Yeah, you know, the winter that we're seeing so far, you know, people think, well, it's super nice, but what ends up happening, we get a little moisture or, you know, just, and then it heats up and then it freezes. We get to kind of, so we get that kind of sheet of ice on the roadways. And so folks aren't realizing, you know, that. And so there is that false sense of security that, hey, it's nice out, but we still have, you know, ices on bridge decks, on the roadways, those types of things. And so early morning, as soon as the sun starts going down, we start to see those roads, if they're melting or there's any moisture that's built up, we're seeing ice and we see drivers that, you know, those are the types of calls we're going to right now, or folks maybe just, you know, they're a little too fast for the conditions and they're not being able to stop or slow down and unfortunately colliding with something or having an accident. So it does create that false sense of security.
Are we having any issues regarding the wind? Usually in town, the speeds are slow enough that you can kind of compensate for that rather easily. But out on the highways, that could pose a problem.
We haven't seen within the sheriff's office responding to like traffic accidents involving the wind. Doug, are you familiar with any of those?
Yeah, we haven't seen any. I think obviously with the wind, it's been excessive, but it's all been related to like trees, downed trees and power lines.
We've had traffic hazards with those trees in communities where, you know, trees and other things have blown into the roadways. And so I think traveling motorists need to be, you know, with the wind we've had, hey, you've got to be, you know, especially if you're driving in the middle of the night and something's, you know, you got to be paying attention, slow down, because you don't know what's on that roadway, right? What's blown onto the roadway, what's fallen onto the roadway, all of those types of things, you know, are concerns and need to be, you know, you just have to take it slow.
And I even had a tree go down in my yard this year. Old juniper tree, sad to see it go. Switching gears on you, sir. Staffing 2025, you said it has been an issue through the year. How do you feel about 2026?
Well, I hope that, you know, our goal is to get fully staffed within 2026. You know, we're currently we have, one patrol deputy position that needs to be filled. We have 5 detention deputy positions that need to be filled. I think last year when we talked, I think I should have knocked on wood. I think I said we were fully staffed in our jail. And we see that ebbs and flows, right? We see, you know, this is a position that I want to let folks know this is a career in the jail, right? That's, it's a profession, and it's a great place that a lot of our detention deputies will start their career out in our jail, and we train them, we, you know, develop them, and they become hireable to other agencies. And if we don't have a position, you know, necessarily within our patrol division and they're chomping at the bit, they may go to, you know, go somewhere else. But I also look at that as like, we're not doing our job if that's not the case, right? If they're getting hired other places, you know, then that means we're doing something right, right? We're developing them and making them hireable in other places, but we just want to retain them. And so there are challenges to that, you know, when we're looking at that, when we look at our budget and stuff, and I give credit to the county commissioners. I think they do the best that they can with the money that we have, right? But, you know, our inability to provide comparable wages, starting wages to our staff sometimes hurts us in the ability to retain our staff. And so while folks want to come work for the sheriff's office, if they can make, you know, 12 to 14,000 more a year somewhere else, and, you know, I mean, it's hard to, you know, and so when we have other agencies that are starting out deputy or, you know, law enforcement officers, 12 to 15,000 more a year, it becomes very hard to recruit or retain folks, right? They might, you know, get a job and we're spending, you know, upwards to, it could be 9 to 12 months before those individuals are on their own after we've hired them with no experience and training them. And then, you know, they just get on their feet and then they go to another agency because they can make more, you know, and those types of things. And so, you know, having those conversations with the county commissioners of sometimes we actually, you know, while you rip the Band-Aid off and maybe we, you know, increase our, you know, our starting wage a little bit and give some, you know, and give some, you know, pay raises to our staff, ultimately we'll hopefully save the county some money in the long run, because while we're training and investing in these, you know, these deputies, and then they leave and now we're starting all over within the same fiscal year. I'm not budgeting for having to train multiple deputies over and over, right? So those types of things we can reduce, you know, we can save the county some money. But it's not, you know, like I said, you know, the county commissioners have been great and receptive of listening to those. But, you know, sometimes right now when we look at what the budget holds and you know, our state legislature, you know, I mean, they sometimes are dictating the money flow that's coming into the counties and municipalities. And that's a struggle, right? When they're now, you know, looking at that. And so we have to be careful of what we see. And then that, you know, puts more, you know, emphasis on what the counties and municipalities, where are those, you know, what are the priorities, right? And I think the priority is all county personnel. I look at that, I'm like, sure, is it the sheriff's office staff? 100%, right? I do think so. But I think every employee within Sheridan County, whether it's within our office or another department, another office, they play a vital role to make sure that the county can provide the essential services that you all deserve. You know, but when we look at recruiting, you know, and retaining our staff, it is a little different, you know, set aside from some of the other county employees or other employees, because, you know, we're dealing with shift work. We're dealing with, you know, physical, emotional aspects of the job that just weigh on there, you know, holiday work. I mean, all those types of things. It's not, you know, other jobs where you can come in and you start work at 8 and you leave at 5, you know, our deputies don't get that opportunity, right? They, you know, they might be called in, if their shift starts at 7, they may be coming in at 5. They may be coming, they may have to stay late. You know, if they're supposed to be, or getting off at 5, they might have to stay till 7 or 8 o'clock to, because a late call came in, or we have additional inmates or things like that. And so that's what kind of, when you're looking at that, you know, sets aside what the sheriff's office and the staff, you know, that becomes hard. It's like, why would somebody want to come and do that? But they can make more money being a teacher and getting summers off or things like that. You know, it's like, you know, if they come and told me that, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I can't, you know, it's a calling. It's something that you want. You want to be devoted to serving this community, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to think bad of you if you're like, hey, I'm ready to check out because I don't have to work holidays. I don't have to work the summers. I don't have to work nights and weekends and things like that. And I can go make more money. Well, it's not all about the money. I get that. But we have to still, you know, be comparable, you know, when we look at that. We, you know, we have to be somewhere in the ballpark.
At least give it an argument to stay, you know, one aspect. Well, I'm getting paid well, too, you know, and sometimes that's all some folks need. And I do feel, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there have got to do a lot of things on their weekends for their work. But, you know, when you're having a training and our instructor's only here on this weekend, whether it's your weekend off or not, you're going into training.
Well, and I look like last night we had firearms training, right? And we're doing that in the evenings. And a lot of our staff work till five, but they were out there till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, right? I mean, those are the types of things, like the overall stint of, you know, the initial hiring process takes longer. The training process takes longer. And again, I'm not trying to take away from other employees throughout, you know, and I'm just looking at, hey, these are the challenges that the sheriff's office is facing, right? And again, the commissioners, you know, if they can only provide with what the money there is to provide, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of that right now, we're seeing that through the state legislature, some of that's being stripped out of local government, right? So we're seeing reduced money coming in. And so when we talk about, you know, property tax cuts and those types of things, where's the money going to come from to provide those? Where's the you know, the funding going to come from? And is there going to be backfill? Are those are the questions we have, right? Because again, while we're seeing that, we're seeing state employees are going to be getting raises and, you know, highway patrol troopers and stuff. And then, so that's even an increase. And so, you know, there's the potential of that. So while, you know, they keep going up and we're staying here, do we have the propensity of losing more staff to other agencies like that? And
I've been trained very well. I might as well head on over to the HP now. You know, I think it would surprise people to learn how much it costs to train an individual. Somebody once told me what I felt was just an unheard of number, what it costs to train one soldier, and not in any kind of specialty, just basic training costs to get one soldier up to a level of readiness that they could head out to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to repeat it on here, but just in case I'm misremembering, but I do remember going back on my heels a little bit, wondering, holy cow, is that real?
Well, it's that monetary investment, but it's also the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at other places where you can get somebody up and running on their own within a couple months, that's not the case within law enforcement. We're seeing, you know, our deputies, they're not, you know, fully ready to be on their own probably within, like I said, anywhere from 9 to 12 months after that, from the time that the hiring process starts to the time that they're, you know, all of the background investigation, they're hired. You know, they start their FTO program with us. They go to the academy. There's some training, all of those types of things. It can be upwards to almost a year. Mm-hmm. And so we're not seeing, we're not getting to see that, you know, for up a year. So, you know, when you're looking at your five, you know, detention deputies down, you know, you're thinking of almost a year of training. And then you think about the time and resources that your training staff within the sheriff's office is putting on. And so that's really the emphasis that we're going to really try to put on, you know, and then also our staff having to cover shifts and overtime, right? It burns them out. So our emphasis for 2026 is certainly we need to retain our staff. And we've it ebbs and flows, right? It's come. We you know, for, you know, 6 months or so, we were fully staffed in the jail, and that was great. And that was my bonehead mistake coming on here and saying, oh, yeah, we were, right?
I'm going to get a wooden block and put it right there.
Yeah, and just start knocking on wood.
Yep.
You know, and while our patrol staff, you know, our division, like I said, we're one down. But you also got to remember that through budget cuts this last fiscal year, we had to freeze a position. We had to freeze a patrol deputy position. We had to freeze a detention deputy position. So while I say that we're one position down in our patrol division, we're truly two positions down, but we just can't hire that one open position because it's a frozen position that the county has put on. Same with detention. So we're talking now, we have less deputies out, you know, patrolling. We have less deputies in the jail, those types of things. And so is that liability? Are those different things? Is that, you know, the opportunity for, you know, for more crime to happen or things? Certainly. So, again, our emphasis 2026 is how can we retain that staff? And while I don't want to say it's always all about money, but we have to be comparable. That's mm-hmm. we have to be comparable.
You've got to compete out there.
And we're all competing for the same candidates. The Sheridan Police Department, Highway Patrol, VA, Game and Fish, you know, all like Johnson County, Buffalo PD, Campbell County, Gillette PD, all of us are competing for the same candidates, you know, when we're looking at that. And they're going to start looking at, hey, what does that agency provide? What are those types of things? And when you get down into that, you know, we have to be comparable.
Absolutely. Well, sir, I've got 1 minute left with you. I greatly appreciate you coming in this morning, speaking with us. I know you've got a meeting that you got to rush off to, or I'd keep you a little bit longer, but it's always a pleasure, Sheriff. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Moss Holders is creating space for new inventory in the new year. That means tons of in-stock items have been priced to move. All month long, you can save 20, 30, even 50% off selected items. Every piece of clearance furniture is in stock. Most of them are one of a kind. So that means by shopping early, you'll get the best selection of clearance pricing. Whether you're wanting a new sofa, recliner, dining set, or bedroom pieces, Moss Holders has discounted furniture for every room in your home. Start off the new year with a new look at great pricing. Moss Holders clearance sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Oh, man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of four tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs, helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagara here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
If we want to feel bad for the Wyoming guy in Josh Allen, that's okay. But we also had another Wyoming guy catch a touchdown in that game.
That was
Frank
Crum.
Yes. Yeah.
Crum.
Lineman.
Yes. That was another one. It was just like, all right, man.
Born in Laramie. Went to Laramie High School.
Yeah.
I played high school football.
What was that?
Really?
Yep.
Wow, did you tackle you?
And look at you sitting here.
And here you
are. No, Bob, we won.
But you were the quarterback, right?
No, that was my brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
No, I was All-State Center.
Hey, it's Andrew, the analyst, VIP with First Northern Bank. This week's prize is a $100 gift card to Pit Crew to U for the high score of the week. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:40 to hear how we did.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit eFirstFederal.bank.
Hi, this is Tracy Landis with the Wyoming Free Tax Service. Are you looking for free tax preparation? The Wyoming Free Tax Service is here to help you. IRS certified tax preparers help low to moderate income families in Buffalo and Sheridan complete their tax returns. There's no charge for this service. For further information or to make an appointment, call Wendy at 307-710-1022.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.